We are starting a two-week series on peace. Today we're looking at having God's peace instead of worry. Worry reminds me of being in a thick fog, like we experienced here in San Antonio this past week. I read that a dense fog, which covers up to 7 city blocks, is actually only composed of water that could barely fill a single glass. There is not much behind the fog. Worry can sometimes be like that fog. It can blind us and cause us to take our eyes off of the Lord. But often, when we see worrying for what it really is, if we try to grab hold of it, there isn't much there. We have a God who desires to lead us through the fog of worry and fill us with His peace. Peace is something we all need daily, but especially during this season. Peace is something that arrived that first Christmas night as the angelic choir began praising God in Luke 2:13, singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased." The angels came announcing peace at the arrival of the Prince of Peace. But for many, the holidays can be marked by worry, perhaps because of strained relationships or financial pressures or the stress that comes from meeting expectations. So how do we hold on to peace and contentment instead of worry? We can look to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6. And I want us to pray in a moment, but before we do so, you probably saw one of those note cards on your chair as you came in. If you didn't get one, there's some over here on the back table. And if you're listening online, just grab a piece of paper wherever you are. And on one side of that card, I want you to write one thing that you are worried about. It could be one word. You don't have to share it with your neighbor. But take a moment to write out something that you are worried about, something that you are currently unsettled about. Do that now as we pray. Father God, we thank You for our time in worship. And Lord, I continue to praise You for the beautiful testimony that we just heard from Jasmine through baptism. A testimony of new life in You, a testimony of obedience to You, Lord. And Father God, we want to be honest with You today. And so we come before You now and we bring to You the worries of our hearts. In the midst of uncertainties and trials, Lord, would You fill us with Your peace, the peace of Christ. We trust in Your promise that says, "Your yoke is easy and Your burden is light." So lead us now as we look to You and Your word for truth and for peace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you're still thinking about that, you can write as the Lord leads. And hold on to that card, though. We're going to come back to that later. In Matthew 6:24, we see the end of a section in Christ's famous Sermon on the Mount, where He's speaking of materialism and stockpiling wealth and possessions for selfish reasons. And Jesus says in the final verse of that section in chapter 6, verse 24, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. This isn't speaking against wealth, but wealth is not to be our master. Christ is. Christ is our Lord, and we are his bond slaves. Before coming to faith in Christ, we were enslaved to sin. Sin was our master. But when we trust in Jesus, he becomes our master. Paul speaks of this in Romans 6:18. Having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. We cannot claim Christ as Lord if our allegiance is to anything or anyone else but Jesus. As John Calvin said, if riches hold dominion over the heart, God has lost his authority. And as we look today at this next section in Christ's sermon, we see four reasons we can have peace instead of worry. Number one, we can have peace because we serve a heavenly Father who provides for us. Verse 25, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? That phrase, for this reason, takes us back to verse 24, where, as just said, God is to be our Lord and our master. And for this reason, Jesus says, don't be worried. Don't be worried about your life. That phrase, your life, speaks to the totality of our being, physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. We are to look to God for peace in every facet of our lives. Worry is a sin, and one that I'm guilty of. And so this sermon, as all should, is being preached to myself as well. Worry is perhaps the sin that believers commit more frequently than any other. The English word for worry comes from an old German word meaning to strangle or choke. It's a vivid picture of what worry and anxiety can do at times. Sometimes anxiety can come upon us without warning or because of certain triggers in our lives. And when we face anxiety, we must cling to Christ, meditate upon Scripture, remind ourselves of our identity in Jesus. We can look to biblical counselors to help us as well. But when it comes to just worrying and the daily fretting in our lives, there are times when my worry is an indication that I am not fully trusting, that I've taken my eyes off of God's providence and his promises for me. We just saw at the end of Philippians the Apostle Paul's contentment in Christ. Contentment and peace are the opposites of worry. Paul talked about being content in any and every circumstance because of God's power and his provision. We worship a God who holds all things in his hand. He controls all things, and he withholds no good thing from us. One day, someone came running up to John Wesley and said, John, your house has burned down. And Wesley replied, no, it hasn't, because I don't own a house. The one I have been living in belongs to the Lord. And so if it has burned down, that's one less thing for me to worry about. I don't yet possess the contentment of a John Wesley. But I strive to be more content because of a God who owns and controls and he provides all things. The previous section in Matthew 6 spoke more of luxury and wealth. But this section, starting in verse 25, speaks to the attitude that we are to have in regards to the necessities of life. Three times in this text, the Lord tells us not to worry. And then Jesus speaks of what one commentator describes as the trinity of cares, what we eat, drink, and wear. And just flipping through any magazine today reveals that it's these things that drive much of our culture and our consumer mentality. And Jesus is not saying that we should despise these things. But if our focus becomes less on the Lord and more on the fleeting things of life, then worry can overwhelm us. The worry that we will never quite have enough. The worry that we will not measure up or not be able to keep up with the Joneses. Jesus is speaking against a worry that has at its root a lack of trust. And in the next several verses, he gives a few illustrations of his loving care, revealing that he is worthy to be trusted. The first illustration has to do with food and the example from the birds. We can imagine Jesus looking up at the skies of northern Galilee and pointing, as he says in verse 26, "Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they?" 2020 was a very interesting year, to say the least. As most of us were working from home, and some still are, and every child of a certain age suddenly became a homeschool student. And for many families, that extended time at home together was a very positive thing. But for others, it was a trying time emotionally, a time when relationships became strained and isolation and loneliness may have set in. It was difficult not being able to gather here for worship for 8 months. One activity that our family found ourselves getting into was bird watching. I say our family, maybe it was just me. But whether it's in our backyard or going to a number of nearby state parks, we got to where we could recognize a variety of different birds. We read something online that said, "As you age, it's ridiculous how fast bird watching creeps up on you. You spend most of your life being 100% indifferent to birds. And then one day you're saying, 'Wow, is that a golden-cheeked warbler?'" So if you are into bird watching, we see here that it's a very biblical thing. Verse 26, "Look at the birds of the air." The great theologian John Stott talks about being an enthusiastic bird watcher since he was a young boy. And Stott writes, "I know that bird watching is regarded by some as a rather eccentric pastime. But Scripture says, 'Consider the birds.' The basic English translation is, 'Watch birds.' It's a command. Fix your eyes on them. And what do we see with the birds? That they are, for the most part, healthy and happy. You don't see any stressed out birds. Those with high blood pressure. They don't sow or reap into barns like we do, but consider how God cares for them." The application for us is not to sit around and be lazy like the birds, because birds are not lazy. They set aside provisions for the future. We too can plan for tomorrow without worrying about tomorrow. The birds store seeds for the winter, but they have no fear. They don't worry about where their next meal is going to come from. As one commentator writes, "The birds seek only for that which God has provided for them. And when they receive it, they are content." The application is also not all will be smooth sailing in life if we just trust God. No, life is difficult. The application here is an argument from the lesser to the greater. If God cares for the lesser birds, how much more does he care for his greater and higher creation, those created in his image. The birds are not going to be co-heirs with Christ for eternity. No bird has a place prepared for him in glory. And Jesus gives the question, are you not much more valuable than they? It's clearly an understatement. We are of so much greater value. Only we have the capacity to honor God and exercise faith in him. But yet there are some who have lost sight of that truth. They have forgotten who their heavenly Father is. As the poem reads, said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think it must be that they look not to their heavenly Father who cares for you and me. It's only God's children who have the privilege of calling him Father. It's because we are the only creatures that bear his image, and therefore we can rest assured knowing that God will provide for our every need. Number two, we can cling to peace because worrying won't get us anywhere. Verse 27, and who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? I don't know of any gains or advantages to worry. I at times struggle with anxiety and worry, just as some of you do. But worrying will not lengthen my life expectancy in any way. Many of us grew up without Wikipedia or Google or even the internet, and so you couldn't fact check many things. And I remember someone telling me that you could add a second to your life for every step you took going up and down the stairs. And so when I heard that, I just started going up and down the stairs in our home for no reason. I'm sure it was driving my parents crazy. But I was counting the seconds that I was adding to my life each step. But God has my lifespan in the span of his hand. And worrying is not certainly adding to my years or the quality of my life. So I need to daily take those worries to Christ. Leave all things in his care. Not worrying doesn't mean that we're to live a carefree life. We are to have cares and concerns. We are to be concerned about the spiritual well-being of others. We are to care deeply about the salvation of those around us. We are to be concerned for those in our family and in our church family who are hurting, and we hurt when they hurt. The Apostle Paul expressed this concern in 2 Corinthians 11:28. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? A healthy concern is a good thing, but Jesus preaches against worry. A man was in a hurry one day to catch a flight, and he ran through the terminal trying to make his gate in time before the plane was scheduled to take off. And he was getting close to the gate, but he felt like he wasn't going to make it. And the man passed a guy in a pilot's uniform, and the pilot yelled after the man, "Where are you headed?" And the guy yelled back and told him what gate he was running to. And the pilot yelled, "Well, you can stop running because I'm the pilot of that plane." If God isn't worried, if God isn't stressed, then why are we so worried? We must wait upon God. We must trust his perfect timing, his perfect will for us. We can find peace instead of worry because we trust a God who cares for us. Worry won't add anything to our lives. And number three, we can find peace and contentment because God knows what we need. Verses 28 through 30. And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? In these verses, we see two illustrations, the lilies of the field and the example of Solomon. Solomon was one of the wealthiest people to ever live, and his wardrobe must have been pretty amazing. But his clothes were nothing. His glorious robes were but rags compared to the exquisite beauty of the lilies. Perhaps Jesus pointed at the wildflowers covering the hill where he was preaching, and he said, "As beautiful as these flowers are, they won't last. They are gone after just a short time." And it says, when they do wilt and die, they are thrown into the furnace. This is more likely speaking of an oven. To bake bread in ancient times, you would do so in an oven made of hardened clay. And to speed up the baking process, a person would not only build a fire under the oven, but inside the oven as well. And the fire was kindled using dried grass and flowers. We saw how God provides for animate objects like the birds. He also takes care of inanimate flowers that cannot toil or reason. And once again, how much more will he care for us, the capstone of his creation? Martin Luther wrote, "Thank you, flowers. God has exalted you very highly that you have become our teachers." Verses 31 and 32, "Do not worry then, saying, 'What will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing?' For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." Jesus makes a more personal point here. We need not worry because we are children of the King. When our kids were younger and learning how to swim, I would stand in the pool and encourage them to jump in and swim to me. I would say, "Jump to Daddy." And they might be a little nervous, but they had no reason to worry about me not being there to catch them. I had proven to be a father who was there for them. We all take steps in life that are scary at times. But greater than our fear is to be our faith in the one who is always there to catch us. He is greater than our biggest worries. We see again the trinity of cares in verse 31, what we eat, drink, and wear. And Jesus points our attention to the Gentiles. This is the word ethnoi, which means peoples, non-Jews. It's a term that refers to pagans and the secular world, which chases after material things. Those who have no hope in God will naturally put their hope in that which they can enjoy now. As believers, we do need these necessary things from verse 31. But we must not be like those without Christ who overestimate their worth and significance. Unbelievers are bound by the boundaries and horizons of this world, and they understandably have a life motto that says, "Let us eat and drink today, for tomorrow we die." But as believers in Christ, we are citizens of heaven with an eternal perspective on all things. Those without Christ in their lives will not only overestimate material things, but also misunderstand God's character. They may think of God as removed from the details and the complexities of their lives instead of the one who is near and present in the midst of their struggles. He is our Father, and He desires for us to trust Him. Worry can be written off as a trivial sin. But if we are not careful, a constant, chronic worry may push the Lord from our hearts. And without intending to, we can be declaring God to be untrustworthy. So what should we do instead of worry? Number four, we find God's peace as we seek first His kingdom. Verse 33, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Jesus gives a command and then a promise. First, the command, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. It's a continual command. So what does it mean to seek His kingdom and His righteousness? Seeking His kingdom means seeking to spread the reign of Christ through the advancement of the gospel, seeking to win people into His kingdom. It's also seeking His rule, His will, and His return, in which He will establish His kingdom on earth and usher in an eternal kingdom. To seek His righteousness is to seek more Christ-likeness in all areas of our lives, in our work, our families, our homes, our personal lives. Jesus says, rather than seeking and longing for the things of this world, which can bring about many of our worries, instead, long for and seek eternal things which bring about peace and contentment. Jesus also spoke of this pursuit of righteousness earlier in His Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And then in the second half of Matthew 6:33, we see the promise. All these things will be added to you. God knows our needs, and He will care for us. And finally, we can rest in the peace of Christ today, knowing that He holds the future. Verse 34, so do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Tony Evans said that today is the tomorrow that you worried about yesterday. And he said that many of us are being crucified between two thieves, yesterday and tomorrow. The regrets of yesterday and the uncertainties of tomorrow. We know that tomorrow is coming. And we know that tomorrow will have its own troubles and trials. But as George MacDonald said, no man ever sunk under the burden of the day. It's when tomorrow's burden is added to the burden of today that the weight is more than a person can bear. Jesus says, don't borrow from tomorrow. Don't worry about maybe this could happen or that could happen. Mark Twain once said, I'm an old man and I've known a great many troubles, but most of them never happened. Don't worry about what may never happen. Jesus says each day has enough cares of its own. This doesn't mean we should just worry about the troubles of today. It's saying that each day has its own challenges without adding more to it. Corrie Ten Boom said, worry does not empty tomorrow of sorrows. It empties today of strength. Verse 33 is the answer to our worry. Seek Christ first. The more we are seeking Christ and His righteousness, the less our focus becomes on what we eat, drink, or wear, but more on eternal things, those things of eternal value, God, His Word, and His people. We just saw in Philippians where the Apostle Paul commands us, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That word for guard is the picture of a sentry or a watchman in a tower. We look to the peace of God to stand watch, to stand as a guard around our hearts and our minds. Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23 remind us that love, the loving kindness of the Lord, never ends. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. He promises his grace for tomorrow, but he doesn't give us today that grace that he has for tomorrow. He will meet us there tomorrow. He gives us his grace and his daily bread one day at a time. And it's these promises that give us peace as we trust in God. Isaiah 26:3, the steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Let tomorrow take care of itself. Let us rest in the peace of God today. Let us trust him with our tomorrow. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up at this time. And I want you to turn that card over. And I want you to spend just a few moments listening to God. And on the other side of that card, I want you to write your name. Write your name and then a comma. And then write out, I want you to know. And as the worship team is softly playing, we're going to listen to God together. And then write out what God is speaking to you today through his word and through his spirit in this area of worry. Again, your name, comma, I want you to know. And then spend a few moments listening to God. Write out what God wants you to hear and reflect on as you listen to his word and his spirit ministering to your heart. And I'll pray in just a moment. Father, it's good to be still for a few moments and know that you are God. Continue to speak to our hearts. Continue to minister to us right where we are in our lives, in the midst of our worries, in the midst of our anxieties, concerns that we have about tomorrow. And Lord, as I listen to you speaking to me through your word and through your spirit, I hear you saying, Will, I want you to know that my yoke is easy. My burden is light. So give me your worries. Give me that load. I'll help you carry. Lord, I have no reason not to trust you, because you have been so faithful to provide your peace, your power, your provision. You know what we need. So help us not to focus on the things of this world, but instead seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. And Lord, I pray that if there is anyone here who has not yet placed their faith and trust in Jesus and your death, Lord, and your resurrection for us, so that we might have eternal life in you, I pray that your Spirit would draw them today to you in saving faith. We want to put you first in all things. You are Emmanuel, our God with us. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.